We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sponsored by the Massachusetts Army National Guard. Aired by the Massachusetts Broadcasters Association and this station.
Window Nation's back to school sale gives you an A-plus in savings. Get two free windows for every two you buy with 0% interest.
This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mega.
He was overexposed. He was brought in here as a fourth outfielder. Heim didn't do his job. He became an everyday player, and he shouldn't be. And he didn't hit, and it shouldn't surprise anybody, because even when he was, 5 years ago, he was like this. The great Mike Gallego. You ever remember Mike Gallego? Remember
that guy?
No.
The Red Sox stumble again. At least Alex Cora didn't have to sit in the dugout and watch.
As it is, there are four runs in. The Royals lead 7-3, and Alex has been run. Wow.
Maybe the reports on the Patriots' offense will be better.
The apocalyptic tenor of everything that we're saying down here has to be measured against. Eventually, the Patriots are going to be able to execute vast swaths of what they're trying to install.
It's very competitive, and when we lose the day, to me, that's like a shot in the heart, you know? It's like we lost the game.
Lou Merlone.
That's okay. I know I can breathe through my butt.
Christian Fourier.
I'm going to stand with you first. Okay. All right, Nate, is it? It turns you on.
Megan Ottolini.
Sometimes she's cute and she has a great personality. And isn't that better than just being straight up hot?
Nope. It's Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on Boston Sports Original.
I want to get right to the point. Let's that's what Tinder's for.
WEEI.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. It's Merlone, Fourier, and Mego. What do you say, Fourier?
Hello, Lou.
Mego.
What's up?
How are we all doing here today?
Well, do you really want to know how I'm doing? Because I feel like when people say that, they really don't really want an honest answer.
Well, I was going to get to it because we got a little rehab center going on in here right now.
We do.
Now. You have like a picnic set up. You got a towel on the ground and some TB12 ball.
No, it's not necessarily a picnic. It's two giant beach towels.
Yeah.
Where I will be with my TB12, Death Star, rolling sphere.
What do we got going on? Why is this
My back. I threw my back out the other day. I'm getting rehab for it. And at the recommendation of one who shall not be named, Ryan Garvin.
Yep.
I had a pit stop last night on my way home.
Yep.
And what Ryan, forgot to tell me is that when you're
just
taking
one
an
and
edible,
not two?
Yeah, when you're taking an edible to relax your muscles because they're in full on spasm, only take one.
Yeah.
I said, but they looked like taffy.
How many did
it
you have?
It looked like taffy. I was like, these are so
you're
good.
You're a big guy.
How many did you have?
At least four.
You're at least,
Christian.
At least four.
I just the one, obviously.
Next thing I know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mego, he lost his license again. It got suspended. He was home.
You know what happened. Might as well take an Ambien.
For context, Christian wakes up at like 4:45 and lays in bed being like, when can I text? When can I text the show? When can I text the show? When can I text the show?
It worked. I was absolutely in zero pain all throughout the night.
But
when I woke up, I actually felt like I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what I missed. I didn't know what was happening.
So what'd you really have, two?
No, I had four.
At once?
Yes.
I'd be in the hospital.
Who would ever take four? You've never done those before. Dude, I mean, you don't really do them regularly.
If one was good, I only take two. He takes two. He told me he takes two, but he's 110 pounds.
One or two for like 14 years of his life.
He's 50 pounds.
Before they were even legal,
wet.
He was dropping edibles.
That's true, too. His tolerance is much higher than mine.
Much higher.
I just didn't want to.
It's like the Greeny story I always told you about when I took two the first time and ended up in the hospital.
Did you take Ambien when you played?
Yes.
Was Ambien around? Okay.
Take them after night games.
Yeah, did you ever take more than one Ambien?
No.
No. Oh, my God. Did you?
Yeah, I did it by mistake. I was really freaking out. I couldn't sleep.
Did you sleep for like 20 hours?
No, I woke up. It was a night game. I was fine. But I remember I slept for like an extra 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
I never woke up. But no, so listen, I'm going to fight through it today. I'm going to give you my best.
Have you taken any before the show?
No, I did do that by mistake, too, if you remember that.
Yeah, I do.
I heard about that.
Or a brownie or something.
I'm surprised you were so relaxed with taking four different edibles.
I didn't want to even risk it. I was like, if two is good, four must be better.
Four's got
to
be better.
I can't.
That's
right?
A good way to look
Isn't
at it.
Isn't that the way to think
it
about is. It?
It's a good way to look
like,
at it.
Like, one is good.
Like, people
two
often look
better.
At that with, like painkillers, like Perks or Oxy. Like, they tell me to take one, but I'm going to take four because I think that's got to be better.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if two,
you know,
does the job.
Doctors always lie. They always assume they downgrade
it. Like, yeah, so, yeah, exactly. Like it's a big racket.
How many drinks do you have a week? And you're like, oh, I'm a social drinker.
So social maybe drinker.
Between 3 and 5. And they're like, okay, so, she has 12.
Yeah, easily multiplied by whatever.
So after like last night, you dropped 4 in you. Like, so did you like that plan? Like tonight? Is that
a
similar plan?
You're going
to drop
idea.
Back to like 2.
Like,
how about 1?
No, I think I'm going to live around 2.
Okay.
I'm going to live around 2. 4 was way too much because I woke up and I was in a fog for at least an hour and a half.
No.
At least an hour and a half.
That's why
and
I can't do it.
I forgot where my keys were. I didn't know where my wallet was. I didn't know if I ate or not. I didn't know what was going on.
That was my skull.
Yeah, I was freaking out. Where I was like, did I prep for today's show? And I was like, yeah, not really. I was like, what time is it? So, there you go. There's
my
morning.
Good?
Yeah, I feel great right now. I'm going to get, during breaks, I'm going to be stretching and rolling out my hips and my back and my L6 and my facet joints and my QL and my TLR.
Okay.
Do we have a button here for HR?
Yeah.
What?
Christian's stretching
just in front
of me.
I wore, made sure there's nothing would fall out.
All right, good. You can face the wall when you stretch. That's all. All right, listen.
I'm
today,
like the Italian jogger.
Yeah, we got a lot going on here today. Amy Dash, our Odyssey Legal Insider, she's going to join us at 3:30. Give us the latest on the Deshaun Watson situation. I am curious to her opinion on the NFL's appeal. Like, what kind of case do they have? We'll ask her at 3:30. And at 4:30, Charlie Weiss, old friend of the show, Charlie Weiss will join us, and we'll get his thoughts on this new offensive approach here from the New England Patriots. Apparently, see how he thinks it'll work.
Why would they change his offense?
Yeah.
That's what they did to Charlie. They took his offense, and they're basically saying, just like what they did with Matt Patricia when he left and Brian Flores took over, it's too hard. It's too difficult. Nobody can understand it. We can't play fast. So we're going to completely change your offense, Charlie.
Yeah.
I wonder how he feels
about
that.
See how he feels about that one. But I wanted to start with this because Pro Football Focus put out an article, Sam Bunson, and he was doing some bold predictions.
Which we usually hate.
Yeah, for AFC.
It's at the end of some, like, that bold predictions are usually at the end of some, you know, pregame show where they need to fill for 5 minutes. You know, listen, you know, I can't think of anything else. Let's all do bold predictions.
So then you say Trey Lance is going to be MVP.
Yes, you do something completely out of
But still, I personally, I don't like bold predictions because people don't get the bold prediction segment. You know, when you make a bold prediction, it's not reality. It's what it's a bold, something outside the box, and you make it, and then it's like
it's a crazy prediction.
You thought Mac Jones is going to be number one in the NFL and MVP. Well, it's a bold statement.
Yeah.
It's a bold segment. Like that's what we're doing, making bold.
But
statements.
See, when people revisit that statement, bold is not attached to it.
Yeah.
So it's like old takes exposed. Lou Maloney thought Mac Jones was going to win an MVP. Yeah. Oh boy, was he wrong.
No, we had a good time. I always tell the story too. NBC Sports Boston, we did it one time. I think it was with Trenny and Holly. And like bold predictions about who's going to win the AFC. And I think Holly picked the Patriots. I think Trenny picked the Chiefs. And I was like, Chargers.
That's not
like,
how this
idiot.
Works.
What do you mean Chargers? Chargers don't have a chance. I'm like, you picked the two favorites. It's the bold state. It's a bold, you know,
maybe
segment.
They thought it was predictable.
I don't know.
Most likely to happen statement.
Yeah. And I think one year I said Buchholz like 7, 8, 10, 12 years ago was going to win the Cy Young. And it was like by June, they're like, idiot, you don't know anything. My Buchholz. I'm like, dude, it's a bold segment. Okay, statement. That's
You're
what we're
going
doing. Bold
out
predictions.
On a limb.
So
You're
let me ask you this. Sam
limb.
Bunson talking about bold predictions. Let me ask you how bold these predictions are. Because he does the AFC East, right? So he does, you know, bold predictions. Miami, for example, leads the league in yak. I don't think that's really bold either. I mean, you've got a guy, Tyreek Hill, that when he catches it 5 yards, he goes 90 yards for a touchdown. So I'm not so sure that's really bold or these are like legit predictions. But let me give you the Patriots one. Number one, his bold prediction. This will be the worst defense Belichick ever had.
Mm.
Is that bold?
No, I don't think it's bold. I think that is most likely to happen.
Isn't there a good chance that this defense is bad?
Yeah. And I would think, okay, what? Give me another time when they had a really bad defense. And I think I remember when Chad Brown was starting and Monty Beisel was on your defense. That defense was terrible. But you still had some, you know, big-name guys that were definitely, you know, productive and disruptive more than anything. This team, there's just, as of right now, there's nobody that freaks me out. There's nobody that scares me. Maybe it's Barmore. Maybe it's Godchow. I know you don't like him. But there's nobody on the edges that really freaked me out that forced me to change my way. There's no corners out there that I'm like, Leighton, let's not throw to those guys.
This should not be a bold prediction. This should be more likely to happen. Them, what's more likely, them to have the worst defense ever or to have a great defense? To have the worst defense ever.
Yeah, so they compared to 2011 when the Patriots allowed 244 points and ranked 22nd in that category, which was arguably the worst defense Belichick had fielded as head coach. I think they make a fair point. I don't like when they do this. So in this article written by Sam Munson, he points out that only Adrian Phillips had earned a PFF grade of 80 or better. So it's like their own grading system. I don't love that because it all comes down to being like human judgment and it's subjective. But I do agree with what he says here. The NFL grew accustomed to the idea of the Patriot way and the fact that Bill Belichick was such a good coach. He could grab cast-offs and misfits from around the league, plug them into his defense, and coax performances out of them. The rest of the league made them wonder what they were missing. But then he says there have been fewer and fewer of those players over the past several seasons. And guess what? You sent them out of town. Like, this is not the same secondary. I know it was the highest you can get really is on the safeties, like Adrian Phillips, like Devin McCourty. But I think the cornerback position is a major concern to the fact that Jalen Mills is essentially your number one corner right now. And the rest of it is like a competition between maybe Malcolm Butler or Terrence Mitchell or Jack Jones, who we don't even know like what these guys look like at all at this point.
Well, and I think it's a great point by him because we've brought it up before, like finding these cast off and misfits. And the reason why some of these cast off and misfits, I think, work out is because they're usually positioned right next to, say, a red jacket guy. You know what I mean? Like you find some outside or linebacker in the middle because he's next to Mayo or he's next to Hightower or
everybody
he's next to McGinnis.
You know what I mean? Like opposite of Stephon Gilmore.
Well, you've always had a great number one corner. You know, and when they've struggled, they haven't had that guy. So whether you bring it in Tlaib or go back to Ty Law, whatever, but Tlaib and who had the Revis for a year, J.C. Jackson, you know, whatever it might be, or Gilmore rather. So the guy next to him, you can kind of get help over the top. Right? Because one guy's on an island. So that second corner or third corner kind of looks good because you can kind of defend it because you're next to a great player. Same thing on a defensive line. You're always next to a great player. So the misfit, he looks at and says, I'm not going to ask him to do too much because he doesn't have to do too much because he's next to a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, but
and that,
when he uses
those
misfit,
guys are missing right
misfit
now.
Misfit to me.
The Pro Bowlers.
Okay, like Kyle Van Noy, I guess, would be considered a misfit.
Yeah.
Okay, he was a high draft pick. It was on a crappy team and then joins the Patriots and suddenly he has value. Okay, Rob Ninkovich, he's a misfit then. He was bouncing around playing for New Orleans and then suddenly, they found value. Mike Vrabel should have been considered a misfit. Like, he wasn't playing where he was at. He came here. Next thing you know, they have value here. They plugged them into the right position to where they benefit from their strengths, not their weaknesses, and they all thrive.
Yeah, like Van Noy, for example. You think he thrived because he was next to a young Dante Hightower?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Who kind of did the grunt work, and they were like, listen, because we have Hightower in the middle, we can get a lot out of Van Noy. We can have him do this, 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 and that, not ask him to do what he can't do because we got Hightower. So that's my point. Like, you've had Pro Bowl or red jacket guys, so when you bring in a misfit, you're like, all right, I don't have to ask him to do too much. Or I can bring in a second corner because that guy's on an island on that side. I don't have to worry about him. So I got McCourty over the top of this so-called second quarterback that I'm going to make look really good because they're not going to be able to pick on him because I don't have to worry about the other side of the field. So they've been able to disguise it and move guys around, but they're missing the pillars. You know, you're missing that great linebacker in the middle to get the most out of the misfit to his left or the misfit to his right. You know, you're missing the great corner to allow help to that second corner or third corner on the other side because you don't have that guy either. So you're missing these pillars right now, which is where why I think lately you've kind of been exposed here defensively.
So like even when you break it down as far as like the holy trinity of positions, it's usually something like quarterback, left tackle, corner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you have the best corner in your division?
No.
Do you have the best left tackle in your division?
You have the worst number one corner.
Okay, no, I'm just saying. So there's just football. My point is that like you don't have the best in any of those three categories. I don't even say you.
The positions
you don't even
you're
have,
usually paying out the butt for.
Well, yeah. The listen, if you can get a top notch corner, you build from that. You get a quarterback, world is your oyster. You get a left tackle. Like that can handle everything on their own. Now you can like you know put players in better positions, and you don't have to give up a tight end or a fullback or a back chip and release him because the guy can't block their best player. They don't have any of that stuff. They don't have any of it. So it doesn't mean they're going to suck because I don't think they're going to suck.
Like, you got Matthew Judon. You got Christian Barmore.
I don't know about Judon. Let's look at Judon right now.
I like Judon.
So do
I'm high on Judon.
Okay, so what makes Judon good?
It's the sacks.
Sacks. He's disruptive. Okay, and so do you cut him some slack for disappearing the last four of the last five games of the year?
I do think that that was a health thing for him. And so I'm high on him coming back in. I don't think that he'll be the player that he was first 11, 12 games, whatever that was when he went on that crazy streak. But I still think he's going to be better than he was in that last third of the season.
All right, so Sam Munson, Pro Football Focus, some bold takes for the New England Patriots. Number one, this is going to be the worst defense Belichick's ever had. We're questioning how bold that statement is. There are two other bold statements from Sam Munson in this article I want to get to next. We will do that as we continue to talk Patriots right here. 617-779-7937. It's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, we're breaking down this Sam Munson article here on Pro Football Focus. Some bold predictions to some AFC East teams. As we mentioned, we talked in the first segment. The first bold prediction he had is that it's going to be the worst defense Belichick's ever had. We question how bold it really is, given what they have coming back. The second one, another bold prediction that I think has been a lot of people have been questioning themselves. Mac Jones doesn't improve in year two. He goes on and says, Jones getting a lot of training camp hype, but his job's going to be harder sophomore year. Departure of Josh McDaniels, his 2021 offensive coordinator, is huge. Much is being made of the fact that Patriots aren't technically employing an offensive coordinator in 2022, but they have bigger issues. Is the one of the best isn't there anymore. And most likely the replacement, Patricia, is wearing multiple coaching hats and has more of a defensive background. Jones needs to find consistency and a little more aggressiveness as a passer this season, and it's going to be a lot harder to achieve, minus McDaniels.
Here's what I did. Here's what I did.
He pantomimed to divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer. Oh, see how I did that? Yeah. That should be our new single.
I thought you were saying clear out. Like you're going to go off. I got excited. Yeah.
Cut the dough, split the pizza.
Okay.
Once again,
you teach your kids to swim, they say cut the dough, spread the pizza.
I wouldn't say that
when
this is.
When you teach them to ski, you do pizza pie, french
it's
fry.
True. There you go.
French fry, pizza.
But once again, back and forth. Is this a bold prediction? I think a lot of us look at what's not just questions we had coming into the year, but what we've seen so far the first couple weeks of camp, and the odds are against Mac Jones. And it's not maybe to do with him, his talent. It's just what he's dealing with around him.
See, I think that, and I said this a while ago, that he technically will be a better quarterback. He'll be more mature. He'll be more prepared. He'll have better arm strength. But his numbers and the record won't show it. Therefore, he won't get credit for taking the year to jump. They will say he's in a sophomore slump. And other guys who started really low, like Trey Lance and Justin Fields and even Trevor Lawrence, will be probably pass him just because they start off, their floor was so much lower. His floor is super high right now for a second-year quarterback. When you look at what he did, look at what he accomplished, regardless of how it ended. You know, I saw this morning, and when everyone talks about Mac Jones, they throw in the Pro Bowl. He made the Pro Bowl.
Did you watch what he did there?
Yeah, and even then I'm like, all right, so how many guys had to bail on the Pro Bowl for him to actually make it. And I was like, well, it's still a good thing. It still means that someone said, hey, you're better than the rest. Even guys who are older than you and more established than you, we want you to represent the AFC. So it's an accomplishment. But any established quarterback will look at that like a warm moon and laugh in his face. Oh, yeah. Remember we had Warren Moon on during the Super Bowl? And we talked about Mac Jones, you know, making the Pro Bowl. And he laughed.
Yeah.
He laughed about it. He was like, please stop.
Well, just to add fuel to the fire. What we talked about yesterday, what we're hearing from Tommy Curran, from Phil Perry, from Andrew Callahan, from Karen Garigian, if you read the Herald, that this is a really different offense that they're asking him to take on now. So not only is he going into his second year with less support than he had at offensive coordinator than when he was under Josh McDaniels, but now they're also asking him to switch it up and learn something new with a whole bunch of other guys who are running around with their heads cut off, too. So I hope he improves. I really do. But I don't think that, once again, this is not a bold prediction. This is kind of like, yeah, you're following camp, yeah, huh?
And it goes back to, I said a while ago, we were talking about pressure on Mac. And I said, it's to me, I still think that it's going to be like a free pass year for him. Because nothing's going to be his fault. Look at what is going on right now. You know, like, you're telling me that if this team struggles or if he struggles and doesn't look right or this offense isn't scoring, that people are going to come down hard on Mac?
Yeah,
or do
Bill's
you think most
it.
People will come down and say, well, they're trying to run a new offense. They can't not running the ball as
who's
effectively.
Who's the offense? Why are they dumbing
it's
down
because
the offense?
Of Patricia.
Who are they dumbing the offense down for?
Could it be for the coaches?
Well, it's not for Mac. He's already excelled what I've heard is the toughest offense to learn in the history of football.
Right.
He mastered it. So who are they dumbing the offense down for? You say the coaches? I say probably.
I'm not really aware about specifically what you're talking about.
The that offensive guy. Line, the backs, the wide receivers. Who are they dumbing it down for? I keep hearing all these quotes from Trent Brown and Damian Harris talking about how the
streamline.
Key is to play.
Streamline.
Well, but they keep talking about playing faster.
Mm-hmm.
Playing faster. We don't have to think anymore. I mean, is that all because you're a zone blocking scheme? Is that it?
I think the bigger, broader question is like, why are they doing it? Like, is it one of these things where, like, listen, this is where, you know, the offenses are heading. This is what we need to become in years coming down the road. The NFL is turning to this. We're trying to stay ahead of the times. And if it takes us a year to learn it and it's ugly for a year, so be it. We still got a young quarterback. We got some young guys on the line, interior line at least, you know. So is this just like one of those things where however long it takes us to learn this year, so be it. Because next year, the year after, this is something that we need to kind of figure out.
But that makes me crazy because then you're wasting
a
year of a rookie contract with who I think is a good and competent.
Why are they changing?
Well, if you read Curran, he says it's because Belichick has been itching to do this for a while, but wasn't going to change it under Brady and wasn't going to change it with Josh McDaniels there. So now he's been wanting to run this Shanahan-style offense
for
years.
Wouldn't that be the time to do it?
When Mac comes in with Josh McDaniels?
Oh, with just
maybe
like,
Josh says, no, I want to run my offense.
Yeah,
I'm the coordinator.
I mean, it's Josh
now
McDaniels.
Now Bill has control of the offense. So, I mean, look, yeah, everybody answered to Bill, even McDaniels when he was here, but I think it was fine. He was going to focus on the defense, didn't have a defensive coordinator either. So gave it over to McDaniels, kept it with McDaniels last year. Now it's totally like clean slate.
I don't think it would have been, you know, like this. You're not going to change Tom Brady's offense. I understand that. But the point is more of McDaniels, you know, like 2020 under Cam Newton, you know, and it's like, listen, if Brady is out here, we want to do something different. Let's do it right now. At least I've got Josh McDaniels. It's not his offense, but at least it's somebody that's an offensive mind. You know what I mean? It could probably comprehend some of these things a little bit better. Now all of a sudden you wait year two on your quarterback who looked fine last year. And you're having him try something new in year two. Offensive line, try something new year two. With a new offensive coordinator, no great offensive mind to kind of coach these guys up, other than probably just Bill. And it's like, it just seems like an odd time to do it. It's like they're taking two steps back to take three or four steps forward maybe next year.
See, you know why I think they, now, I think they probably are changing the offense or agreeing to change or willing to change it because maybe they can't run it. Maybe they can't run Josh McDaniels' offense, because that's what it turned into, because it started with Charlie Weiss, and then it changed and it morphed into different things when Bill O'Brien came, and they added different things, but ultimately the foundation was the same. The same plays that they ran back in 2001 and 03 and 07, they're all the same plays. And the verbiage is exactly the same. But I feel like it's maybe Patricia and Joe Judge said, listen, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what he would do with this. Like, if you have, like, some of these guys have, like, a special car or whatever, and only certain guys can start it, right? You got to turn the ignition and press the button and then, like, pump the gas real quick, you know, three times. Like, it's like there's, like, a technique there because it's temperamental, but you've driven it your whole life, so you can start it in a second. Somebody new comes to drive your car. They don't know how to start it. You're telling them what to do, but they just don't get it because they don't have the history. I think it's more the fact that they don't know how to teach this offense. So since they don't know how to teach it, they need to dumb it down not only for themselves, but and since they can't teach it to the players, they got to dumb it down for everybody.
Correct me if I'm wrong, okay? Because like, you've seen this offense. So from what I understand, it's really more of kind of helps everybody, right? It's only a couple good options for wide receivers, the quarterback. It helps the quarterback. But isn't it really the zone running game? Like, helps the running back? Helps the running game? Isn't it because the running game, I don't think, was a problem.
I don't think it was a problem either. But the blocking scheme, I guess, was. I guess that's what it is.
But they were one of the best running teams in football.
I don't know why you would change it.
I mean, they were like seventh in yards per game. Now, they're seventh, but a lot of those teams in front of them had, you know, Baltimore, Lamar Jackson. Like, a lot of those teams, Josh Allen had quarterbacks that ran for 70, 80 yards that kind of padded a running game, right? So they ran the ball fine traditionally. People are like, it came too predictable. Well, they still ran the ball effectively,
but Lou, especially
with the two backs. I thought that was their strength.
If you took over a baseball team, if you took it over, would you implement or try to learn their ways, or would you implement your own? Or what would you do? Wouldn't you?
You mean hired to implement your own?
Yeah, you would. You would. Yeah, but they have not. They have never had to worry about that because there's always been a succession plan. There's always been somebody who was ready to go to take whatever they were doing and just, you know, maybe he put his own attitude next to it. You know, but this seems more like a Matt Patricia to Brian Flores than it does, you know, like as far as Josh McDaniels to Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, because all we heard about, you know, from Hightower and other guys is how much easier B-Flow's defense was compared to Matt Patricia's. So Matt Patricia is like the defensive equivalent to Josh McDaniels. Too difficult, too many options, too much to think about, too hard, I can't react, I think too much, I'm slow. All right, B-Flow comes in and says, you know what, take away that read, take away that read. I want you to read and react. Right? That's easier.
You know, all this talk about this offense, the defense, offense, whatever it might be. Real quick, before we get to the last bowl prediction, let me just go to Cal in Quincy because I'm curious on this call right here. Go ahead, Cal.
Yeah, so I kind of like the fact that, you know, you got the prototypical quarterback, Tom Brady, in a pocket passer. This kid, Mac Jones, needs to develop his own style. I believe that the Patriots are going to be very competitive this year. Obviously, they're not, you know, the best team in their division, but I'll tell you what. They got better with the draft picks. They got faster. I thought Hightower really slowed that defense down last year, and a couple of those big linebackers.
What linebacker did they draft?
Yeah, I mean, Uche's coming into his own. Oh. He didn't get enough reps.
Uche, you say, is coming into his own. And hold on one second. Based on what? What did you see last year that led you to believe that he's coming into his own? Was he close to being an all-pro? Was he close to, like, having the most sacks in the league? Was he close to kind of having the most tackles for loss?
No, he's on the Patriots.
He was on the Patriots.
That's not the way they run their defense, Christian. You know that.
What do you mean?
The Patriots aren't, like, sack-happy people. They just don't run their defense like that. They're
unless
covering
you're Matthew
black.
Judon.
Matthew Judon is a force. He has to. We have to play into his strengths. He has to come off the edge and just go get the quarterback. That's his job on third down. He's not. He's not going to stop the run. He's not that capable.
Okay. All right, Cal. Thank you very much. And I just want to take that call because to me, you just heard him. I just think he makes the Patriots fans are sort of in denial.
Bill's still here. Like, they got
faster,
can't be bad.
Yeah, they got faster in the draft. You know, linebacker was holding them back. Okay, what linebacker did they draft? Hello.
Like,
you know what I mean?
We all sat around and we're like, oh, take N'Kobe.
Yeah.
Take N'Kobe. He's right there.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so now you have unproven linebackers. Like, Uche's going to take a year step two jump. Based on what? Like you said, it's just they're the Patriots. Are they going to be competitive?
Uche's coming into his own.
I think they'll be competitive.
Based on what?
But I don't think they're going to win many games. And I've said all along, I think they're going to win 8 games. And I would say that they're, you know, they're a lot closer to 6 wins than they are 10.
See, my thing is like, is there a way? It's complimentary offense, complimentary defense, whatever. You hear it all the time from Bill. Can the offense complement the defense? So I would say last year, the defense was like the leader. Like, they were the ones. They had a really good defense.
It's been
the defense that
has
been saving them.
Since 2018, it's been the defense who you've been able to depend most of the time on this defense to put points up on the board. To have a ball hawk like J.C. Jackson snatch the ball and be able to get points off of that. And I don't know that this defense can put points on the board at all.
So that's my point. So when you look at just as far as the Patriots last year, when their defense, when they held teams under 15 points, they're 8-0. Anything other than that, they were squeaking by. I think they were like 2-6 or something like that. It was a huge difference. But can the offense score enough points to make up for the deficiencies on the defense?
Well, the hope was
that's scary.
Yes.
So and so can they compliment them? I don't know. But they really shouldn't say compliment. It should be bail out.
Yeah.
Can the offense save the defense?
Make up for them.
Yeah, because the defense is going to – they won't hold the line. They will give up a bunch of points. They will allow, a high third down conversion rate. They will take up a lot of time.
I don't think anybody feels great about the defense, other than maybe Cal from Quincy.
Matthew Judon is a force.
Yeah, I know. And it's just stating the obvious. Yeah, his job's to be on the edge of third down. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's what he does.
Don't overrun the quarterback.
So, but offensively is where it was supposed to come from, right? Offensively – it was supposed to be two good backs. Your offensive line supposedly didn't get any worse. Supposedly it got better. I don't know. We'll see. Looks thin to me. A lot of depth at wide receiver. You got tight ends. You're going to get something out of Jonnu Smith. That's who you keep hearing. So their offense is going to be better. Year two jump for Mac. So far in camp, the offense has been getting dominated by a defense that nobody thinks is any good. And that is a huge concern, which brings me to the third bold prediction from Sam Munson, his Pro Football Focus.
This is a nice one.
Yeah, so the first two I don't think are very bold. You know, this is going to be the worst defense Belichick's ever had. Mac Jones doesn't improve year two. The third one, Damian Harris will have 1,200 rushing yards.
That's silly.
Now, remember, this is from Pro Football Focus, who at the end of last year, the past two seasons, they've graded Damian Harris as the third best running back in all of football behind Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor.
Based on what?
The third best by their numbers. I don't know. Third best? Listen, I like him. I like him, but we all believe that Ramondre Stevenson, you know, has looked like maybe that's a guy that maybe could take over, or at least these two split. So how the hell does he get 1,200 yards? To me, that's
because
a bold statement.
This is where I get a little annoyed sometimes.
That's a bold prediction.
With PFF, like, I think that they do a lot of great work, but it's based on over the past two seasons, they write that he boasts a 90.7 PFF rushing grade.
Yeah.
Well, look at what they're doing here. I mean, they have a tremendous group of backs there. That's one positive thing that you can say about this team. Even if James White doesn't come back, I hope James White comes back, but even if he doesn't, they still have a tremendous group of running backs, and I think Ramondre is going to be a huge piece of that, and unfortunately will eat into some of Damian's yards.
I'm trying to think of, okay, so I don't think this is, see, he's saying this is a bold move. I think it's doable.
I think it's bold.
See, I don't know. I mean, listen, the last back to have over 1,000 yards rushing, I can't even know who it was.
If Ramondre Stevenson wasn't here, I would say, okay, it's more doable. But I don't really think if Damian Harris gets 1,200 yards, what's Ramondre going to get, 3 or 4? I mean, are they going to rush for 2,000 yards, you know, between those two guys? So I just think it cuts into it. That's all.
Yeah.
If they only had one of them, I wouldn't think it's that
crazy. I would say pick one of the two having 1,000 yards, but I do think, like, we're giving, like, I would see Ramondre Stevenson being more of a Kevin Falk type position. I feel like he will be first down. I can spell you if you're tired, but I'm definitely going to be your third down weapon. That's how I see him at it. If I'm going to, like, okay, let's foreshadow this and see where he can help us the most and get the most out of him. Keep Harris as your lead back, your number one big back, and then Ramondre will play both third down and first and second.
This is why I don't understand the whole, you know, zone blocking scheme and changing that part of it when the strength of your team is running the football. You know, and now so we're going to change how we run the football when you have two guys that performed great at it. Pro Football Focus has this guy, and they're great. I don't know how the hell they figured it out.
How much
is the third best back in football? You got two great backs who are running the ball fine. You have a quarterback who understood everything. Year two, let him completely just have a better understanding of what you want to do. Instead, we're out here doing different things, and it ain't working.
How much does it come down to trying to get Jonnu Smith involved in his last contract here? Trying to get Nelly involved.
Offense for
don't
Jones.
You want to get yeah, and Aguilar
did not catch on.
If you can't, if your skill position players can't figure it out with the offense that you have, then you have to, I guess, draw them open. You have to create plays where they don't adjust. You just hope that you call it against the right defense and you find the open window, and then you get the ball in their hands. That's the deal with Jonnu Smith. Like, Hunter Henry can get open on his own. I don't think Jonnu Smith can. So all he does is deep crossing routes, slip screens, shallow crosses, deep ends, routes where, like, he just has no choice but to just run the route. And if it's open, it's open. Like, I think Hunter Henry can wiggle his way free. I think he knows how to find leverage. I think he knows how to find the open void.
But this whole idea of changing it in, like, the caller Cal, whatever, who's just, like I said, it's just a Patriots jersey, so everything's going to be great. Like, you know, guy like Mac Jones, You know, Brady was a pocket passer. Let Mac Jones do his thing. What's Mac Jones? Is Mac Jones Lamar Jackson? Isn't Mac Jones a pocket passer?
Well, he is in the best shape of his life.
Why do we have to change for the same type of quarterback that just walked out the door?
Because this one's really young and not as experienced.
I guess so. I don't know.
So we're
just ripping up through this Sam Munson article here in Pro Football Focus, talking about some bold predictions here on the New England Patriots. Number one, worst defense Belichick's ever had. Mac Jones doesn't improve year two. Damien Harris, 1,200 rushing yards. How do you feel about those bold predictions? 617-779-7937. When we come back, Tom Curran, Phil Perry on the podcast talking about this Patriots offense and bringing back some interesting quotes from one Bill Belichick in the past. You'll hear that next.
Now, you got a game show going on? I feel like this is a game show song.
Game show, too.
What game are we playing?
We're playing Phil Perry and Tom Curran break down the Patriots offense game. On their latest podcast.
Podcast.
I was trying to remember what the hell the name is. What is the name of their
Patriots? Patriots Talk Podcast.
Okay, there it is. Patriots Talk Podcast with Phil Perry and Tom Curran. Two are outstanding. Love both of them. Phil Perry, bringing up a quote from 2015 about the philosophy of risk-taking of one Bill Belichick.
Here's the quote from Bill about if it goes sideways. I think it's all about production. It can be exciting if you feel like it's going to work. Hey, here's a new idea. We haven't done this before, and I could see how this is really going to help us. But if you start throwing a bunch of new ideas at a team, let's say the coaches, players, whatever it is, and they don't work, you get to about the fourth one, and it's like, all right, okay, here's another great new idea. Why don't we get better at the things we're doing as opposed to coming up with a different way of doing it? I think there's a fine line there. I don't think you want to just do it to do it, because if it doesn't work, then, you know, you lose credibility. How many shitty ideas do you want to come up with? How long are they going to follow you with one bad idea after another? If you come up with something and it works, and you come up with something else and it works, then the next thing you come up with, probably nobody's even going to think twice about it. They're just going to say, okay, well, I don't really know why we're doing this. Or maybe you tell them why you're doing it, and they're like, all right, great. Full speed ahead. But if you start having a few of those that backfire, and then the next thing you know, it's what about this and what about that? Last time we did this, we said this was going to happen, but it didn't happen. You lose confidence. I don't think that's a good idea. You got to make the right decision, find the right time. A lot of those ideas that are good ideas at the right time and the right,
what's he saying?
This has got to be right, because if it isn't, it can look terrible.
Oh, no, duh.
Back in 2015.
I mean, I like both those guys also, but I don't know what Phil is trying to say. What is he trying to say?
So you better get it right,
or you're going to look stupid? Yeah.
No, so what he's explaining, he's breaking down an interview that he had with Bill Belichick talking about implementing new stuff. And that essentially Bill is hesitant to throw 8 different things at a team or a unit, whatever. Throw 8 different things. All, you know, one after the other.
That's a good way, because
it's too steep of an incline to ask guys to buy in. It's all about the buy-in, okay? So, like, if you toss 3 new things out, and then, you know, there's an adjustment phase, you're getting there, and then eventually it's like, okay, we're bought in. But if you keep throwing more new ideas, guys eventually are going to look back and go, why can't we just do it the way that we've been doing it?
Like that was working now.
Fix something if it's not broken?
Well, okay, yes, obviously. And I would say, what does mutiny look like in a Patriots locker room? What does, like,
Randy Moss.
A dust-up look like? No, I'm serious. Like, they've always had a buffer, like a lot
what
of vets.
What does the word government mean to you?
Yeah, thank you. Like, well, what does it look like? Because that is what I'm hearing. If you throw too much, if you give them too much and you're not successful in it, people start doubting you. Then they start bitching and complaining.
See, this is where I think, you know, the lack of, say, a veteran. Like, Brady was always like that voice, the middleman, right? New guys coming in. What the hell's Bill asking? What are we doing this for? What are we doing that for? You got a guy like Brady on the field saying, trust him. Okay, this is how it works. Other guys, red jacket guys, this is how it works. Pillars of the organization, this is how it works. Trust me. Now you're introducing something completely new, which is what he's talking about, whether it's, you know, taking on risk and trying to do different things. And people have to buy in on that. So even the guys you're relying on, whether it's Mac Jones, who's probably trying to convince everybody it's going to work, but deep down he doesn't even know because it's new. Oh, who's the other leaders on this offense?
David Andrews.
Hunter Henry, David Andrews, and a new offensive, new scheme, zone blocking, which he hasn't really done before. So does he really buy in and know that this is going to work? And by the way, while all this is going on, you got Patricia with a walkie-talkie. And Joe Judge, who obviously can't shut up because he can't just say four words. He's got to say 44 words. So it's like you talk about buy-in. Where is the buy-in on the field?
I don't think
if you're changing things up as much as they seem to be.
Look at all the names that you mentioned, like, you know, you met Mac Jones, David Andrews, guys that will die on the vine. They're not going anywhere. They, even if it looks crazy and stupid, they're going to be like, well, Bill has a plan. Let's trust him.
So
he has a long history.
Good buy-in?
Well, my point is, like, there's sometimes where, like, you just don't know any better. So you just trust, you know, what, you know, the guy that has provided you nothing but success. Like, he's got to figure it out, right?
So
he's got to understand it.
Maybe part of this is that Bill can implement, can overhaul a system, renovate, however you want to call it, an offensive system right now, because he also knows that the locker room, the clubhouse he has, is full of guys who are, like, in their second year, or they're rookies, or they're coming here for a shot, like Devontae Parker coming from, you know, trying to do a little bit of redemption for himself, and nodding and being like, yes, coach, okay, yeah. Yeah, we'll try. Yeah, because, yeah, you're the best.
Yeah, I mean, you're based on your past, you know, by the way, before any of us got here,
mm-hmm.
based on your past, it's obviously has worked in the past, right? Because how many people in here can legitimately say, I've won with them? How many guys in that locker room? Three?
Not on the offensive side. Well, David Andrews.
Yeah.
And
four?
And who else?
Slate.
Slater. I guess we'll put him on the offensive
Slater.
Side.
On the offensive
James
side.
White's
Maybe
walking
Trent
around.
Brown.
Walking around.
Well, Trent Brown, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you understand my point. Like, you don't have 12, 15, 20, 25 guys on this roster that have won with him. You have other guys saying, I'm coming over here. Bill's the greatest coach of all time. I know that. This seems a little bit weird. We're not understanding, and I'm going to trust him because he's won in the past. But there aren't many guys in there that have actually won. It's
yeah,
just based
you're right.
on before they got here, what they've been hearing, what they've been seeing.
Well, yeah. And you bring up the Joe Judge, you know, how verbose he is. Okay, so I am curious how much of that gets lost in translation when it comes from Bill delivering this message down.
Are we playing telephone with coaches?
Exactly.
By the time it gets to Joe Judge, what does it sound like when it goes from Bill to Matt to Joe? What is Joe? What is Joe saying?
Our phone lines are open.
Oh, okay.
Run a plant?
I do think it's one of the things that I do think is interesting that I've always been intrigued by is how long the Patriots have been able to kind of control, like, the psyche of the team and how the core group of guys have led the rest of those guys, and they've all kind of followed suit. Like, they've all bought in, they've all trusted it, they've all kind of believed, and they've all worked the same way. Like, the more those guys retire or get traded or just move on, and the less you win, the more of an unknown I think that is.
So let me ask you.
Because that, to me, scares me.
Yeah, so when you joined the Patriots, all right, they had already won.
Already won once.
Already won
they
once.
They just won their first one, so I came the very next year.
Okay, so it wasn't really like the Patriot way, was it? You weren't there
no,
8 years
it wasn't.
It.
Nobody was talking about the Patriot
year
way. It was
one.
Like, holy cow, can you believe they actually won a Super Bowl?
Exactly.
They were so like the cute little team.
Yeah,
when you jumped onto that team, was there ever a moment in camp or whatever did you said, why do we do it like
they
this?
They said, don't go to New England.
Why do we do it like this? Why do we do this? Like that first year?
No.
Yeah, none of those. Everything was understood.
No, I mean,
past.
Listen, it was
Nothing
an old.
Was
it was, no, no, it was. It, no, it was a
the way they
older
practiced,
group.
The way they did. Things.
Well, everybody bitched about camp because camp sucked back then. You know, so everybody was complaining and trying to get days
but
off.
Not
but
about how you executed
no,
stuff. Or how
no.
we wanted you to execute.
No,
stuff.
But I will say though, like you know, no, because it worked. And why would you question
no,
it?
No,
like,
no, well, it worked for 1 year, right? I mean, at that point. So, my question would be like maybe as you started playing more years. Were other guys coming into the system wondering why we do it this way?
Those
like,
guys
what are
were
we
thrown
doing?
Out in a second.
Yeah. Well, so there wasn't veterans like, just shut up, this works?
No, no. I listen, I remember like Steve Martin, okay? Big defensive tackle from like Missouri,
I love his
okay?
work.
I know, great comedian.
Him and Bill Murray.
He was one of those guys that was questioning everything. Everything. And I remember something, dude, you better shut up, man. They're going to cut your ass.
Aren't those people kind of annoying to a point, though?
He was the most
like,
annoying person in the world.
Can you shut up? I'm trying to learn.
He was the most annoying person in the world. I remember I went to go get taped. I came back, and his locker was cleared out. True story. They got rid of him just like that. It was like, why waste our time anymore? He just talks too much crap.
Poisoning
the well.
Shut
the hell up.
All right, listen, we're going to talk to Amy Dash here at 3:30, get her thoughts on the case of the NFL and its appeal versus Deshaun Watson. But when we come back, Jim Bowden gave some superlatives at the trade deadline. The Red Sox are all over it. As the Sox drop a game last night, How much of a mistake did Cora make in the seventh with Darwin's and Hernandez? And you'll hear it after the game. We'll do it next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.